Okay, so the Diet Critic's not working. But it's Srila Prabhupada, you know it's Srila Prabhupada. This departure, this disappearance day, we're on you today. And what I'd like to do is go through a timeline of Srila Prabhupada's life, following a Back to Godhead article that is shown here, and we're going to start right up here, 1896, September 1. This is birth date, 1896. It's an important year to understand all of this timeline. So he took his birth in a suburb of Calcutta, and when he was just 6 years old, he had his first Rath Yatra around 1901. This is a painting depicting his father very kindly with his support of his son, built a little Rath Yatra cart. And his mother made some prasadam, and they went around the block a few times with this little Rath Yatra cart, so they could have a mini Rath Yatra in front of us. Then, we're going over here, 1922, according to this calculation, Prabhupada was 26 years old when he met Bhakti Siddhanta. We'll see the full version of this painting in a moment. He met Bhakti Siddhanta for the first time. You know a little bit about the topic. I'll cover the topic after we get to the painting. And it was 3 years later, approximately, after he met Bhakti Siddhanta, what many of our ISKCON devotees do with Bhakti Siddhanta also did, you know, previously, he would bring his disciples to Vrindavan, and during the month of Kartik, they would go to the different places of Krishna pastimes in Kartik. And the first year that he did that with Bhakti Siddhanta was just 3 years after he met Bhakti Siddhanta. And then going up here, initiation, 1932. November 1932. So from the time that he met his spiritual master, it was 11 years before he received initiation. And it was in Allahabad. And there's a nice painting of Srila Prabhupada reaching out, receiving his initiation bead from Bhakti Siddhanta. And he gave him Abhay Charan. The family name was Day. Abhay Charan. Then later, we'll see later, he is given the title Bhaktivedanta. So Abhay Charan Das. 11 years. And then, just a short time later, 1937. So to get a picture of this, should the Prabhupada have association with his spiritual master for then of about 15 years, 14, 15 years. And that's it. Bhakti Siddhanta left this world. And 2 years later, 1939, he added Bhaktivedanta. So A.C. Bhaktivedanta Abhay Charan. Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhaktivedanta. During Bhakti Siddhanta's time, he had this practice of recognizing devotees that had some expertise in this or that or the other thing. And then, according to their expertise, he gave them some title. So, after his departure, the Gaudiya Math leaders, they followed the same procedure in 1939, Bhaktivedanta. And following
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's practice, Bhakti Siddhanta had, in addition to books, he had two bi-weekly or monthly magazines, one in Bengali, one in Hindi. Prabhupada wrote one in English, just following Bhakti Siddhanta, and he entitled it Back to Godhead. It was very simple. You see a sample, the Back to Godhead publication cover, 1944, and it continued until today. There was a break, but Prabhupada revived Back to Godhead magazine, and till today it's continuing. Here's the place. Wrong direction. This is the place, the rooftop, where he met Bhaktisiddhanta for the first time. So the ISKCON Calcutta temple has leased this rooftop, and they built a nice canopy over it. And it's a nice place to visit if you're in pilgrimage to places of Prabhupada's pastimes. And here's that painting. Most of you know the story. In this dialogue, Prabhupada had a college friend, and his college friend said, "Come with me. I want you to hear from a very gifted sadhu." And Prabhupada kind of poo-pooed the thing. "Oh, I've heard so many sadhus. No, thank you." And his friend said, "No, he's different. He's different." And he persuaded Prabhupada to come. So he sat down, and the conversation, the message of Bhaktisiddhanta on the rooftop in Calcutta in the year 1922, I think what was going on in the world, 1922, the message was, following the line of his spiritual master, his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who in the very year of Prabhupada's birth, 1896, Bhakti Vinod Thakur sent this publication in English out of the expense of his own pocket, just to send in the mail to university libraries so they'd have in their library the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. He wanted at least educated people in the world should know. Bhaktisiddhanta received that message to give the message of Lord Chaitanya around the world. So he is giving this message on the rooftop in Calcutta. And hearing the message, Prabhupada, being a strong follower of Gandhi, started speaking some Gandhiisms. The Gandhiism that he spoke, Prabhupada told the story later, was, who's going to pay attention to any philosophy from India as long as the British rule is still in place? First, British rule needs to be removed. And then when India has its independence, then we can do things like sending the philosophy and teachings of India outside of India. And then people have regard for us. And you've probably heard this, but it's nice to hear it n number of times. For 20 minutes, Bhaktisiddhanta, in his inimitable, strong, powerful, compelling manner of speaking, convinced Prabhupada the opposite, that transcendental teachings is not created by material or impeded by material anything. It's transcendental, and the time is any time and any way. The message should be carried forward. It'll stand on its own. And, you know, Prabhupada commented when he narrated this exchange with Bhaktisiddhanta, when he was a young man from childhood until his young, now he is around 26, he always won debates. He was never defeated by anybody in debate. This was the first time he was defeated, and he was very happy to be defeated. He probably commented that the hand of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are in good hands. From that exchange, he felt an affinity for Bhaktisiddhanta, a very strong acceptance of him as our spiritual guide and teacher and a carrier of the message of Lord Chaitanya. So that teaching carried him for the rest of his life. I mean, it's not the only time he heard it, but it's the first time he heard it, and first impressions make lasting impressions. So that's that little part of his timeline. And now continuing, starting in the upper left, 1953, that's a big chunk of time between when he started writing his Bhaktivedanta magazine in 1944, but he started traveling and visiting places. Bhaktisiddhanta has left this world, so he began accepting disciples because he was qualified. And his first initiation took place in Jhansi, 1953. And it didn't give a year, a month, but in that same place, there was some property that was conditionally gifted to Prabhupada. No, he was careful about conditional gifts, but that's what happened. And so what did Prabhupada do? He went to the government and established a formal corporation. In the language of India, it was that a legal document filed in the, you know, the legislative system in the country, and the League of Devotees was an ISKCON, but something similar, with a similar procedure, because government agencies need to review how to classify the organization that you're incorporating. So you have to issue statements of purpose, which is what Prabhupada did when he established ISKCON. It's not identical, but very similar to the same points, the League of Devotees points. And the vision was already worldwide. It was in Jhansi, which is a big place. But the vision was a worldwide vision, League of Devotees, 1953. Circumstance, as we know, his wife wasn't so cooperative. And not only his wife wasn't cooperative, but she took some of his books and sold his book, or bartered his book for some tea biscuits. And I don't even know what a tea biscuit is. But it was either it's me or tea, and she wasn't his choice, it was her choice. And so he left home, and he wasn't happy to leave home, but his business was developed. And he turned the business over to his sons, so his sons could maintain his wife and themselves. He wasn't irresponsible. And he left. The history goes, he didn't know where he was going to go. He got on trains and went to places, but you know, he didn't have a destination in mind. He knew where he didn't want to be in. So after some time, he went to Vrindavan 2 years later, moving around. He moved 1956. And it's not part of this presentation, but the place where he went was the Radha Vansi Dari, no, Radha Vansi Gopal Temple. You know, Prabhupada writes 5,000 temples in Vrindavan. And it was one of those temples, one of the 5,000. And if you can go there, if you go there, it's just a family's home. You know, an extended family, there's a wealthy family that did what wealthy families did. They put on the ground floor in the center as you walk in, there's the courtyards. And then there's the deity, Radha Vansi Gopal, very near to the river Jamuna, very near to Keshigad. And he rented a room up 22 flights of stairs at his age. And in a little room, the pictures of the room, it's a little room. And that's where he stayed for a number of years. What was he doing? basically continuing the mission that his spiritual master had given him. He was meditating on taking the message of Lord Chaitanya to the English-speaking parts of the world. And to do that, in addition, he was continuing with Bhaktivedanta magazine, so he was doing those two things. And from time to time, he would go into Delhi. And when he was in Delhi, he was distributing the Bhaktivedanta magazine. We'll see some images of that happening. And preaching Lord Chaitanya's message through his Bhaktivedanta magazine, taking contributions. And he was also looking for people who would be willing to support his preaching work so they could, because he didn't have any money to pay for the printing of Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1, Part 1, looking for donors. And then back to Vrindavan. And in the course of this 2-year journey, one of the places he visited was, or spent time, was in Mathura. One of his godbrothers, Keshava Maharaj, pictured here. This is Keshava Maharaj in the center. And Keshava Maharaj persuaded Prabhupada, who was reluctant, said, to fulfill the mission that Bhakti Siddhanta gave you, you need to take sannyas. He was reluctant, but he then submitted to this wisdom. So it became Abhay, so A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So there's the fullness of his name. And during this time, it's not in the chart, but I happen to know about it. In 1959, 1959, he received one of his visits to Delhi. He met some man that had received in mail a poster of an event that was going to take place in Japan, called this nebulous title, the Conference for Revival of the Human Spirit, which could mean anything, or advancement of the human spirit, some euphemistic thing. Prabhupada took note. He wrote to the organizer, requested the organizer, please send me an invitation letter so I can get a visa to Japan. Yet this was a time, what was going on in the world was, is post-World War II, and all the doors were locked. Countries were giving visas. But it now started to open. So this visionary gentleman in Tokyo, conference for the advancement or elevation of the human spirit, like, you know, open the doors and invite people in from all around the world. So he got such a letter. And after getting the letter, he wrote a book for the purpose of the conference. The book was titled, what was the title of the book? Light of the Bhagavad. And he wrote a book to participate in the conference. It never got published because he didn't have the money. He didn't have the airfare to get on a plane and go to Tokyo. And he didn't have a passport, didn't have a visa. So the book was later published, found in a trunk, and because it was to be made in Japan, they gave it to the man who always gets stuff done. That's Tamal Krishna, printed it, Light of the Bhagavad, in Chinese, along with the description that Prabhupada wanted of the painting. He sent to the organizer of the event, here's the I forget the number, 30 something paintings. This is how I want the paintings done. Could you please get somebody to know that knows traditional Japanese art and paint these paintings and then put them on a poster, and they can be all around the conference hall so people can see the poster and understand the message. He had like a vision of how to take something and expand it. Even before he was doing it, he had that gift. So it didn't happen. But the first book that he actually published, 1960, Easy Journey to the Other Planet, is still around. He often made reference to it. That was another thing that was happening along doors opening. There was a competition between Russia and America. Who's going to get to the moon first? Put down the flag and moon saying this is ours. Belongs to Russia. Belongs to America. You know, like explorers going around the world. Okay. So it was a big deal. You know, that's new. So he wrote something about it. That's their spirit of our founder in Chardon. 1962, part one, or volume one of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto one. The timeline is important. I mean, wait till he gets rolling, but he is building, you know, the lifetime in preparation in Lilamrita. He's in preparing, but he was following Bhakti Siddhanta like anything, because when Bhakti Siddhanta, I'm banging on the chair here, but Bhakti Siddhanta sent disciples to go to London, he wasn't going to send them until they had the teachings of Lord Chaitanya with them, because that was the message. Take the teaching. So the professor from Orissa, Sanyal, was a little delayed, so he delayed the whole travel. And finally came out with this giant book. Sanyal was like a brilliant writer, et cetera, et cetera. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, title of the book. So Prabhupada is going to take Sri Krishna Chaitanya in the form of the teachings of Lord Chaitanya are the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. The teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam are the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. They're the one, they're the same. And therefore, notice in the introduction to part one or volume one of first canto is Lord Chaitanya's life. Then his teaching. What happened?
Just hit the back button on the remote.
What?
Oh, you're right.
Okay, so now we're back to Prabhupada following Bhakti Siddhanta. He's preparing for fulfilling the mission given to him, a lifelong mission. Take the teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the English-speaking parts of the world. Didn't have the money, but by his little trips to Delhi, he found people that would pay for the printing. And in this nice exchange, it's a painting of one of the visits to Vrindavan. They're walking around Radhakund. Prabhupada told the story later. And Bhakti Siddhanta gave another instruction, which went to his life, into his heart, and he lived by it. If you ever get money, print books. He made a comparison between the longevity of books versus longevity of temples, which is going to last longer. One might think, oh, bricks and stone and all of that is going to last a long time. Sometimes they last a long time. But books last longer than a long time. And it makes the heart change more effectively. That's Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. The Archanam comes later, but you have to have the Shravanam to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You need the teachings. Ever get money, print books? And so he did. Here's a diorama of the same exchange. Here's a nice painting of going to the tea stalls. Notice the bell in the background. Tea, everybody's sitting around the table drinking tea because the British made tea very popular. So he went and sat with these people who were drinking tea and gave him, you see on the table, the stack of back of Godhead magazines. Now the magazine, that was just like, you know, very simple printing procedure. But later, There's another diorama of the tea. You see on this ceiling tea stall, Bengali tea stall. And the printer in Delhi asked Prabhupada, why are you doing this throw it away kind of publication of Bhakti-Gaudiya magazine? Something substantial, please. Because you're such a good writer, you should write. So he began writing volumes that could then be preserved, and you know, sure enough, for generations and generations and generations. So here he is in his little room in Vrindavan, one of his two little rooms, where he's preparing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1. That was what he wanted to have with him when coming to America. This is the other little room that where he sat and he cooked for himself, offered to Krishna, and sat there looking. This is, of course, later. He was posing for this picture, but looking out the window. Now, when you look out that window, you see something else. But what he saw during his time was the samadhi and the bhajan kutir, Rupa Goswami. And he was, in addition to the two things, in addition to his effort of fulfilling the order of his Guru Maharaj, he was praying for the mercy of Rupa Goswami. Because he needs strength to do something that's, you know, even as an authorized mission, you need strength, you need mercy. And he knew it. And so he's praying and praying and praying. In the course of time, he met an ardent worshiper of Krishna. There's details about her life. But Sumati Mararji had developed a company that her father established and made it a really big thing, very successful cargo company, boat company based in Bombay. Here there Prabhupada is discussing with her. And you know, there's interviews of her later. And I tried to persuade Swami, she will die. You're not used to the cold, and you know what it's like, and crossing the sea, and Swamiji, please don't. And he insisted, insisted, and so she yielded because he was so determined, so determined. And sure enough, after the three volumes, part one, part two, and part three of Canto 1 was ready, he got on the Jaladuta. Of course, he had to have a visa and a passport. And the books were loaded into the cargo ship along with all the rest of the cargo. And here's his flyer prepared by himself to promote, printed in India, to promote the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 1. For people who will go to preach to. As you know, during the voyage across the sea, he had two heart attacks. After the first heart attack, Prabhupada said, I felt if I had the first heart attack, I wouldn't survive. Krishna came. Krishna came, not in a dream. Krishna came, touched Prabhupada's chest, and said, Swamiji, you'll be all right. Please continue. A little encouragement, right? Prayers of Rupa Goswami and Krishna touching your chest. Again, the diacritic term showing in this computer. He just was surrendered to the will of Krishna. His life was under Krishna's direction from childhood. And when he had his third heart attack, he was taken to the Jersey Shore. And I remember these days, we were offering prayers and prayers and prayers. My dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada. Because after he had come to New York and spent some time traveling, a third heart attack while he's still in America. So now we're going to the lower left. That's the photograph, an actual photograph of the Jaladuta. And he set sail in August 65, he reached Boston Harbor. 1 month later, September 65, in between two heart attacks, and very quickly. So he arrived in Boston. That's where the ship landed. Then they unloaded some stuff, and then the ship went to New York, and he went from New York to Butler, Pennsylvania. He stayed in Butler because that's how he got a visa. The family that didn't know him gave him a letter of invitation so he could get a visa, a tourist visa with an invitation letter. So he visited the family and spent a little while, and his business was in Butler, Pennsylvania. He came back to New York. He didn't have any money, didn't have a place to stay. Tries to stay for a while in New York, no money, no place to stay. But he was very determined, and Krishna helped him. And look at this. July 1966, he reached Boston, September 65, within 6 months or so. He's got ISKCON form. Same as he did in Jhansi, following the laws. He got, you know, there was a man that was coming to his programs, who was a lawyer, told him how to do it with his assistant. The lawyer made the document for seven purposes of ISKCON. So the government couldn't evaluate, is this, you know, does this fit within the not-for-profit religious organization status? He was given that status. It's on July 1966. And the same year, established ISKCON Press. Later, he established the BBT, which was to spin off the intellectual property from any attack that might come to ISKCON property. So now notice how dynamic things start. ISKCON Press, 66. 1967, he got on his first airplane. He went to San Francisco. And guess what? They had a Ravi Yatra. That same year, he went in January. And July, they had the Ratha Yatra. You know the story? Here's the story. It's a quick one. Malati went to an import store, an Indian import store. She saw these little carvings. You know, Jagannath, one, two, three, and one piece of wood. She thought, oh, this is probably Indian. She took it to Prabhupada and said, what's this? What's this? Who is this? Jagannath followed the name Subhadra. Shyamasundar was her husband. Shyamasundar. I want you to carve. He never carved anything. I want you to carve a Jagannath deity this tall, and we're going to have a Jayananda. You please build a Ratha Yatra park. He had to build a Ratha Yatra. He didn't have any money. And they built a Ratha Yatra park. They had the first Ratha Yatra in July 1967. Boom! In Golden Gate Park. And it still have the festival in Golden Gate Park. Big event. Ooh. Very dynamic, very dynamic. And in July, shortly after the San Francisco Ratha Yatra, Prabhupada returned to India. Now, sometime later, this is not a photograph of his original arrival. He went back and saw the port in Boston, described to the devotees that were with him what it was like, what he went through. This is a very celebrated photograph of Prabhupada in New York City, Tompkins Square Park, standing with the hippies. And here's moving through the streets of New York. That's one of the things that Sumanti Guruji said, you're not used to the cold weather. This is India. You know what it's like in New York? It's very cold. And all he had was this little funky hat and a chador. Didn't have a nice jacket and sweater, and he just tolerated the cold. And one of the things he regularly did, he would go for morning walks in parks, etc. So now back to the timeline. Remember, with last was 67. Now 68, May, Kirtananda had purchased a farm project in West Virginia, started developing, and Prabhupada went to visit. You recognize Pradyumna, they're up on the hill, Prabhupada giving classes. These are all recorded 1968 May. Then up above, that was May, now in June, Rukmini Dwarkadish. first Radha Krishna deities, June 1969. Go down a little bit. He visited London. You know the story. Bhakti Siddhanta sent some sannyasis. Prabhupada sent three grahastha couples, and the sannyasis did nothing. And the Beatles and George Harrison, and John, they invited Prabhupada to stay. John Lennon, bless his heart, invited Prabhupada to stay in his estate for a week. They put him in a place that was haunted. You know the story?
No.
A haunted place. You know, ghosts were zooming around the place. There was one of the properties, one of the buildings on the property. No one would stay there because there were ghosts. And Prabhupada knew what to do. Ghostbuster. Kirtan and cleared the place with cow dung, and the ghost went away.
Oh,
very happy. Isn't this? You can read about it. They love it. So, went to visit London, and look at this. He went in September and December of the same year. Deities in Burry Place, Radha Ladanishwara. He's fast. Kaboom! Hare Krishna explosion. I mean, the grahastha couples went in early 69, and by the end of 69, they have a temple with Radha Krishna deities. It's a very dynamic time. Picture how dynamic it was. And in July the next year, he established the GBC, and July of the same year, the next day, he established the BBT. And then shortly after that, he established the membership program. The membership program was for the purpose of two things: encouraging people to participate in ISKCON if they're householders that want to stay, you know, in that space, participate. But you can participate. You get books, and here you make a donation so we can build this con. And they were very happy. It was very, very novel. And 1970. So we have another 7 years, 7+ years. But it's dynamic, dynamic. I did got it wrong this morning, but I think this is correct. You want to confirm that I get it correct?
Yes.
Pandit Hari Lal Shastri.
Lal Bahadur.
What?
Lal Bahadur Shastri.
Yes. You send me the correct information. Okay. So Prabhupada met with this government. Even amongst government people, he's a well-known personality. He spent all this time in the West, but now he's going to bring the people from the West to India and blow everybody's mind. So there we are, fall 1970. The cast of persons in this painting are wonderful devotees, all of them wonderful devotees, many of them wonderful kirtaniers, And they went through the streets of the cities of India, big kirtan, and you know, it was Prabhupada's white elephants, right? The big procession, and everybody paid attention. Because here are these Western people that are doing what they should be doing. And then, you know, big Pandal program. It was like very, 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 very dynamic. And then the publication part. May 71, there was printing in different ways. There was a printer in Tennessee that they were working with, but Prabhupada wanted a big name, so they got a big name. First they did an abridged version, then they did an unabridged version, Macmillan, this gigantic printing. And they were telling Prabhupada, we print other back Bhagavad Gitas, but your Bhagavad Gita sells like anything. We'll print. They had a big print run. Whatever was the big print run, they sold it out quickly. 50,000. They had to make 100,000. Very tiny. And then the same year, same month, Prabhupada purchased some land. Notice the date, May 71. And then the groundbreaking was in Gorpanima 72. Down to the lower right. Groundbreaking for the Mayapur Temple 72. And how long did it take to build Mayapur Temple? Not long. 71, he went to Moscow. And then he pretty in Juhu, in Bombay. And they built that thing real fast. Not done yet. 1972, March, in Vrindavan, the property was purchased. 1972, March, the property was purchased. April, 75, the temple's open. And that's a whole story. I mean, Sarab and the devotees that had to raise the funds. And it's like, Prabhupada wanted very much. Everybody knew it. The people that were, they had their feet on hot coals. They were trying to do everything that Prabhupada wanted in the best possible way. Very dynamic, very exciting time. In between, completed the translation of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Opened, I remember the arti. This is a painting or photograph of Prabhupada personally did the arti for Krishna Balaram. And it was really so nice. When he offered the, after offering the article to the deity, he turned to the audience and it was like a light bulb. He was radiant, smiling ear to ear. He was so happy. That is an offering to Krishna. It's an offering. His life is directed by Krishna. Same year, he established the Bhaktivedanta Institute because he was very interested. Krishna sent him Sri Ramadhar and a PhD in science, and chemistry, I think it was. And the institute was developed to interface between science and Krishna consciousness. By the way, it's still going on. By the way, it's still very, very vibrant. By the way, the Temple of the Planetarium is now in their care, BI Gainesville. Long story, but it's, you know, that's what they're doing. And they're not doing it, you know, in a little dark room. They're inviting many, 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 many qualified people. It's a very powerful institute still today. He met with Gandhi, and then there's many details. We're going to see the details shortly, but November 14, 1977, that's solar calendar, but this is the lunar calendar day from it disappeared. Here's some nice photos. On the left, it's showing some of the things that he did, teaching, transcendental. Upper left, that's Vrindavan. The upper right, that's Kirtan in Compton Square Park. Cow protection, deity, this in the center, the color picture, that's the deities in London, Radha, London, Ishwara. Then there's Prabhupada in India, the bottom left. And then so many other things. Travel to Russia and on and on and on. Travel to the Eiffel Tower over there with like so many devotees. Meeting with Martin Luther King, meeting with so many people. And here's a nice photograph of Prabhupada's car. Notice it's got his name on the side. Los Angeles. Let me see. Here's the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Jagat Guru. You know the story. One reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, I noticed when they picked you up at the airport, they brought you in a big limousine. I thought sannyasis are kind of supposed to like live a simple life. How come they came in a big limousine? Prabhupada put it around and said, it wasn't nice enough. It should have been a golden car. One wants to offer to Guru, this is what one offers to Krishna, and nothing. Now, the final day. This is the conclusion. Here it shows Prabhupada's body is totally emaciated. He decided, like Grandfather Bhishma, that he could and did decide to give up his body only when he wanted to. And so he was teaching and teaching and teaching so many ways. This is a photograph they took him on. He wanted to go to some of the places in Vrindavan. The devotee said, your body is a rag, how is it possible? He said, carry me. So palanquin with pillows and this and that, and the Bhakti Chumash would bike off outside. Teaching, you know, in addition to his life, to how to leave this world, how to live your life and how to leave this world. And I've been saying his life was completely directed by Krishna from the get-go. He went to speak of, you know, no karma involved in his life, no modes of nature involved in his life. And towards the end, very unusual. He kept a private life, but towards the end, it was no longer private. He allowed many devotees, as the painting shows, the photograph shows, to do various services. And it's not pleasant seeing the photographs on the one hand, but on the other hand, there was no barrier in the Hare Krishna movement, what country you're born in, what gotra is your family from, what's your financial status, what's your social status, what's your education, what's your this and what's your that. It was completely beyond material. And the devotees felt that love and attachment for Prabhupada. And right up to the very end, dictating Bhaktivedanta purports, Canto 10, I think chapter 14 was the last chapter. When you read those that chapter, there's such clarity and, you know, reference to the verses, the details and details and details. By his side, there's Pradyumna with the Sanskrit text, reading the Sanskrit, Jayadvaita Swami holding the microphone. And he personally chose to not eat or drink anything, completely showing in tune absolutely with Krishna at kirtan whenever possible. At a certain point in time when it was going, nearly gone, a number of his godbrothers came to see him. And to his godbrothers, he expressed the greatest humility. They came to honor him, and he came to apologize. Or he sat there and apologized for his offenses to them. It was offensive, and they knew it, but that's his demeanor and his mood. From the Lamrita. All over the world, there is a beautiful field to preach Krishna consciousness, he said. I don't care. I didn't care whether I'd be successful or not. People are willing to take. They're all taking. Also, if we preach together, the saying of Mahaprabhu, Prithivite, will come true. We have everything. Spread the holy name and distribute prasadam. There is a beautiful field in Africa, in Russia, everywhere. They're accepting. Right up to the last breath, practically dictating the Bhaktivedanta purports. And his consciousness expressed this way in Bengali, I have no desire. That was his, in this world, no desire. And certainly a desire to be with Krishna. And so one who has gone to Krishna is joyful. Or it's lamentable because those of us who are his disciples, we don't have his association anymore. Those of you that are the next generation, you've never had his association. But you had his association through his books. we'll see a Bhaktivedanta Thakur statement shortly. He expressed in his letters, always, you ever well wish, and this is in Germany. You know, Prabhupada was saying something funny. I don't know what it was, but everyone liked it. Yeah. And you're ever well wisher. And this is the last slide from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. The Vaishnavas die to live and living, try to spread the holy name around. This is written in English. So there we are, the final lesson. Srila
Prabhupada.
Let's see if we have some discussion. Yes.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. So in the slide where Krishna puts his hand on the chest,
yeah,
I saw that there is a big fish behind the Jaladuta. Is it like symbolizing?
Yes,
the Matsya Avatara.
Yeah,
saving the scriptures.
Yeah, it's an artist. Artists have licenses. Poets have licenses. Artists have licenses. Comment, anything? Upstairs, okay.
A question, more a question then. When you feel separation from your Guru Maharaj, what do you do with that moment? Like, what do you feel? Basically, what is the thought process? How do you pass this time? Separation. Or what is the different ways of processing, maybe more generally?
I'll say two things. They're one is service and the other is service. I was not one of those devotees that did lots of service in Prabhupada's personal association. I had some privileges of morning walks and some of those kinds of things. There's some other details without details. But mostly my life in, as a young devotee was service and separation. Prabhupada wanted certain things and my life was to fulfill that which Prabhupada wanted. Without naming, you know, preaching and book distribution and festivals and things like that. That was my service and separation. I did other things without details, but service and separation. So his departure was, I cried. I remember very, very clearly. There was many devotees had gone to Vrindavan to be with Prabhupada. I was the temple president in New York. And we got the news. So we had kirtan in the temple and I just tried having kirtan, but I couldn't. Just crying and crying. So there's feelings of separation, but the replacement is service. You know, the separation feeling is to arrange that which makes that connection. Like Prabhupada said, I never felt separation from my Guru Maharaj. Now, I'm sure he felt separation from his Guru Maharaj, but his life was fulfilling the instruction. So that's one answer, subjective, personal. Now, speaking broader, it's the same. Read the teachings, hear the teachings. Every day, I have one of those little machines about that big. And every day, at least an hour or two, I'm hearing Prabhupada every day, every day, every day, every day. And it's a connection. That hearing sound and then carrying forward with service, things that Prabhupada wanted. So that's how you that's how I recommend, at least, that someone deals with the feelings of separation to service, starting with hearing and then repeating those messages. And carrying forward the message in the mood, in the not just the activity, but the mood of fulfilling the will, fulfilling the order of the spiritual master. That's the connection. That compensates or doesn't cover over the feelings of separation. It just helps one feel the sense of connection instead of the sense of disconnection. Yes. Mataji.
I always wonder a lot, like especially, you know, more than 50 years after Philip Prabhupada's life, like how to carry on Philip Prabhupada's mood. I have a lot of concerns about like being inclusive, because there are a lot of devotees who are not initiated, or they're initiated, but they're not completing the route. Not that they shouldn't be completing the route, but there are a lot of devotees who are not doing that. Or they're just like lifelong devotees, but they don't get to that standard maybe because of their professional and family life or et cetera. So how can we make a society that's inclusive and encourages everyone spiritually, but also seeks to meet the standards that Srila Prabhupada lovingly set for us to help us make advancements?
Well, there's lots of things to say about that, but just in simple language, it's respect. And respect for what? The fundamental essence of that, of a being. And respect that. They're part and parcel of Krishna. And wherever they are in their spiritual trajectory, that's where they are in their spiritual trajectory. And you're accepting and honoring that. It's the principle of relationships, which is respect. Without respect, you don't have a relationship. You can have people to get, in a crowd, but respect is fundamental. So then their respect for what? Then there's different. But it's part of a cultured person has that capacity. A non-cultured person doesn't. So how to become cultured when you're not cultured? You associate with those who are cultured. By sadhu sangha, you can develop characteristics like sadhus. So find you, me, every one of us, find persons who you look like this when you look at them, you look up to them. And you regard them as the right, wholesome people. There are many wholesome people that aren't Hare Krishna devotees. We can have respect for them. Anyway, it's a whole topic. I'll just take your question and move over here with it and then come back to your question. There's the suburb of Chicago in a place that's like, you have to look for it to find it on the map. It's Naperville. But now there's this nice temple in Naperville. And the leadership, the senior proposed there, they want to have a seminar on Vaishnava etiquette, because as devotees go along in time, you have this sifting and shifting and bumping into each other when, you know, they have to have how to have proper etiquette in dealing with multiple groups of devotees. And if there isn't training, then you're going to have some mishaps or discomfort at least. So, but my answer is there are teachings, there's principles of respect. That's my soapbox. I'm going to get on the soapbox of respect. If you want to have Vaishnava etiquette, you have to have, you can't have relationship. Without relationship, you don't have relationship. Without respect, you don't have relationship. Without respect, you don't have etiquette. You don't have a Vaishnava. You have something else. So, now back to your question. That's one piece, but that's a starting point, seeing on the spiritual platform. How do you get people to see on the spiritual platform? You have to live it. Mm. You prachar and achar. That's how you get to where you want. We're little people. You're a little person. I'm a little person. Each one of us is a little, we're each little people. So what we do? Set an example. Prachar and achar. And learn to be respectful to people who are different cultures, backgrounds, colors, languages, and mean it. You know, that's how it happens. And if it doesn't, how it doesn't happen is if you whine and complain about it's not happening. Now, why are they like this? Why do they have these people? Uh-oh. Okay. Music for the ears. Especially sannyasis.
The world's gonna end.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Maharaj, for very nicely presenting that timeline for us. Very helpful.
That's the Godhead magazine. I just cut and pasted it.
Maharaj, my question is, you mentioned it kind of multiple times during your lecture that Prabhupada came and in a short span, an organization was set up. In a short span, Prabhupada came here, temple was. So, like, typically when we, like, any regular organization or anyway, you do so much planning, things are much more slower.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, I'm not I'm just trying to understand what was Prabhupada's mood and instructions with respect to growth and sustenance.
He knew, you know, look at this. He had two heart attacks crossing the ocean. My days are numbered. And he has Krishna Shakti. And Rupa Goswami's blessings. And, you know, his Guru Maharaj, he's loaded up. He was humble. It's not like he thought, I'm God's gift to the world. He was empowered by Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. And highly intelligent, you know, Krishna gave him the intelligence. It's not just that he was good at business. He was good at bhakti. So Krishna gave him the intelligence and the bhakti shakti to do what he did. So those of us that don't, we follow the same principle. And the same principle is Krishna wants. You have a clear indication that Krishna wants. However, you get that indication from scripture or guru and sadhu in combination, and you go in that direction. And it takes time because we're not Prabhupada, we're not empowered like him.
What was Prabhupada's instructions for sustenance and growth?
Could you tilt this way? Yeah, there we go. Okay, because you're going back and forth. And eye contact. Okay, go ahead.
Maharaj, I was asked. The follow-up question is like to the disciples who, when the temple was once set up, what was Prabhupada's instructions for sustenance and growth.
Was instructions for what?
Sustenance and growth.
Sustenance of the and temple, growth. I mean. Maintain the standards. No, he Prabhupada was detailed but also very specific, you know, very principle based. And he wanted cleanliness. And he wanted hospitality. You know, there's certain things that he wanted. So he set up systems. But then systems take, over time, systems can deteriorate. So then he set up, a structure for overseeing standards and systems. So that's what he did. I mean, when Krishna Balaram Temple was opened, he was, periscope up and he was looking around at what else. But, maintain it. Because, in India, sorry to say, but things aren't necessarily maintained so well. So he was like, and when he went like this, people paid attention. Not because they were afraid of him, because of their love for him. People were giving their lives and, their three lifetimes in one lifetime to fulfill what he wanted. So when he said, they gave themselves because he had captured their hearts with his love for them. And they knew that was where he was coming from. And so that's what he did. Cleanliness was big. And care for people, the guests that come, treat people with respect and kindness and give them prasadam, give them books and give them the opportunity to do some service. And those standards. Because he had, he had seen many temples come up and then fade. They didn't want that. It was very clear. I don't want that. This is what I want. Out of love, we tried to do what he wanted. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, do you want to share any experience with Srila Prabhupada, with personal association that inspired you so much?
Yeah. I'll want, but if you want to hear stuff like this, this evening in Naperville, Shyamasundar, who carved the Jagannath deities, is doing his little talk on his times with Prabhupada. He had the intimate, Hari Sori and Shruti Kirti and others had that opportunity like anything. And some of them are really, really good at sharing those experiences. One personal one that sticks out for me significantly, just hearing your question. During one of Srila Prabhupada's visits in New York, in Brooklyn, it was at the Henry Street Temple. I was the temple commander and the sankirtan leader, both. So, because of Prabhupada's visit, my attention was mainly focused on temple commander. And now, don't be surprised, but there's no job description. Basically, the unspoken job description is whatever needs to get done, you make sure that it gets done. And if you can't find someone to get it done, then you do it yourself. That's the two-line job description. And Prabhupada's there. It's like everybody wants to be with Prabhupada and do stuff with Prabhupada. And at the end of the day, they're exhausted. And so one of the things that was needed to be done was to guard Prabhupada's quarters. To guard Prabhupada's quarters. Because in the back, this is in Brooklyn, and there was a wall around the backyard. It's rented property, a big wall, but this is Brooklyn, so people can climb walls and stuff. So in the back, behind the temple, or the double brownstone building, there was this, you know, little grassy area and a little backyard, little. So, when it was time to take rest, everyone was conked out. So I had to guard Prabhupada's quarters, the 24/7. So I was able to, I posted myself outside his window in the back. I'm looking in his window from the back and very regulated. At about 8:30, you know, with everything going on over the other side of the building, because that's where all the devotees were. And after the evening class, into his room, preparing for take rest, he'd go into the front room, which is the size of the temple room, and he sat alone with harmonium, and he sang for about 20 minutes, bhajans, you know, very meditative bhajans. This kind of wasn't a big bhajan kind of activity, but Prabhupada knew, and he knew for him it was a place of shelter. So then after that 20 minutes, he left and came to his room where he took rest, did this and that, and the light went out. So about 9-ish or 9:15, that's it, lights out. And then, so I'm, you know, guarding his quarters, trying to stay awake. And then at about 11-ish, 11:15, a light goes on. He went to his room, did whatever he did in the bathroom. Then he came out, then sat at his desk, and the light went on at his desk. He sat down at his desk. And so from like 11:30 at night or till 11:45, he's doing his Bhaktivedanta purport thing. You know, and he was running his fingers across the page. This is these big books that, you know, were carried in a suitcase. And he's doing reading the commentary of the Acharyas. And then he had his dictaphone, was doing the Bhaktivedanta purports. And, you know, it was impressive to see how intense his schedule was and how regulated he was. Very regulated. And so dedicated, in spite of all this worldwide activity, this was his, you know, part of his gift, mandated service to the world. And that's what it was for. It wasn't for himself, so he could become a celebrity author. He wanted to give relief to the world by the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, the knowledge of Chaitanya Charitamrita, et cetera, et cetera. That was his heart. That's what he was doing. And so it's a very memorable experience. So sometime if you become the temple commander somewhere, now you know what to do. I think we should end.
His Holiness Rompa Tsong Maharaj
Bijai.